coming forth in Philippians. We're going to be spending some time here, and I'm here in the first chapter, and as we were going through this, none of this was planned, and none of this was orchestrated in our strength, and so I'm blessed when I hear as the service flows, and there's a unity in the message, and there's no difference in what I'm about to want to say here, and I ask God that He continues to lead that. But I've titled this Staying Positive. It may not be the best title, but understanding what, it doesn't matter, whichever lights. Yeah, then you can turn on the lights, that's fine. But it's about a perspective. Sorry. Sorry. Holy Spirit. It's like you don't know what to do at these times. You know there's just a progress, and you know that there's, but you never want to stop anything God's doing. So that's why I always, no matter what we're going on, you may be in a place where you're just going to spend some time in God's presence, and that's okay. Don't be afraid of that. But staying positive here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 through 30, continue on in our book of Philippians, and really the right perspective is what I'm going to focus on. It really has probably the strongest influence on the progress of our lives. What it is that you're seeing, the perspective that is thoughtful, a perspective that is eternal, it's analytic in understanding who God is. It allows for decisions that are based on self-control, on godly wisdom, and being led in a direction that is positive. But then there's perspectives that are worldly and rash and narrow-minded, self-focused. And these perspectives allow decisions to be based on haste and emotion and shallowness. And we see evidence of that all around us. We can feel that as Christians, I believe, in our spirit when we're seeing God working in wonderful ways and when we're seeing people striving in their own strength. And it's really not easy to always stay positive. You have to be purposeful. You have to be willing to say, okay, I'm going in the wrong direction. God, right me. And He does. You know, sometimes we do turn on the social media and the phones and the computers and the TV, and the culture is always going to be willing to encourage you all they want. They're going to give you a little less favorable encouragement. We hear the shallow encouraging of something like every cloud has a silver lining. This is the part where you guys jump in. When life gives you lemons, you make. Or here's a good one from days of old: the sun will come out. Think about that song for a moment. Is that not a very depressing song? It's always tomorrow. What about today? I don't know about tomorrow if I even have that time. What about the sun coming out today? And so I find in my understanding of the culture trying to encourage me, it all comes to naught, because really it's only about God, and I don't want to know what the culture wants to tell me, or what some, as we were talking about earlier, the influencers who have changed their mind and now are telling me something completely different than they told me a moment ago. And see, because that perspective is focused on the things of the world, and it becomes really depressing. And it becomes circumstance focused. But the Bible offers so much more, and hope comes in the face of rough circumstances. The Bible has something outside of ourselves as a final end. And so I begin to say, wait, what is that all about? Something beside what I think will find a perspective that shows me what I want. What is this saying that I should desire? And so instead of surviving, maybe I can learn to start thriving. And in this difficult season of life that you may be in, why can I be as happy as I am in the good times? Why is it possible? Why is this the hope that I have? And there's only one answer that I can give you. It's because of Jesus Christ and the crucifixion that gave you the hope. And then He said, let me prove it to you, and I'm going to rise from the dead. And He did that 3 days later. That's why? So I begin with that foundation, that perspective, that focus. And so when your life's invaded by trials of health, finances, spiritual and relational ups and downs, God seems to always be able to show you how His grace is sufficient if you're willing to listen. See, that's always the hard part. The real understanding of the questions are, am I willing to agree with what He's saying? Am I going to take that perspective and put it onto Him focused and see that the biblical perspective, the God worldview, He's the center of it all, is the only way to go? That takes a humble heart, loved ones. And that takes a choice, because our nature, as we're learning in other studies that we're doing, is not that. Our nature is self-focus, how I please myself, how I get ahead, how I make myself feel better. But that's not what it's all about here in these words we're about to get into. Let's pray and ask God to continue His work. Father God, I thank You for the sweet presence by Your Holy Spirit, walking up and down each aisle, touching each heart in a wonderfully fresh way, the power of who You are being available through the Son's wonderful intercession for us. So Lord, I lay before You what it is about to be said here in Your wonderful words, this beautiful letter You spoke through Paul to the Philippians, and tell us 2,000 years later is still for You. Speak to us, Lord, wherever everyone is, no matter what situation, ups, downs, in-betweens. I ask that they're willing to hear what You have to say to them. I thank You, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to take a moment. We've been a lot of reading here, but we'll take a quick moment here to go ahead through our scripture, and then we'll come back around and see what has to be the beautiful application of it all. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. We're going through 30. Follow along as you are able. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Paul, the powerful preacher, apostle of old, who gave us so much of our New Testament faith, how to apply it, how to work this Old Testament God into a church God-focused togetherness. So much in unity here, so much in togetherness, and so much in peace with God. What I really find here is Paul has matured in his faith. Who here wants to mature in your faith? Who here has come to full maturation of your faith? Yes, correct. None of us have. Always working, always striving in the Holy Spirit to say, more of you, God. I don't know even a fraction of a percent of who you are. But Paul here, as he's maturing in who he is as a human being, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he tells us that he can find in any circumstance in himself a way to glorify God. Are we living that way? Are we finding in any issue, any circumstance, any situation, a way to glorify God? Speak, God. I hear His rumbling. Here Paul is in a life and death situation. Remember, in the Roman prison, he's writing to the Philippians, shackled to two men possibly all day long, 24/7. And here's a throng of people around him, and he's looking to say, Philippians, I rejoice in who you are. Let me tell you what's going on, because the faith is real, more real than when I got here. And he's in this jail. and he's about to die. Life and death is before him. He is known to be fine in abundance and lack. He says, it doesn't matter if I had it all or I have nothing. I have Christ and that's enough. This is the right perspective, loved ones. This is how you get a positive attitude. And so as he opens up this section, he says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I wrote this down, loved ones, build your life on a spiritual foundation and let it begin with the fellowship of the saints. That's what he's saying here. He's saying here it was the prayers of his fellow believers and it was the Spirit of Jesus that keeps him going. Loved ones, isolation is dangerous. It is dangerous. How many, I used to be sitting in the chairs there too, and I could find every Sunday or every day that I would have a study, I could find an excuse not to go to church. Why do I have to go to church? I could do this at home. I'm really busy. I said a prayer this morning. Hey, I read, I can listen on the internet now and on TV and find a lot better preachers than that guy, and I could just find God's working. But you don't understand, loved ones. God created this body of fellowshipping in the realness, the physical togetherness, the communion of gathering together, a way to grow you, a way to prosper you, a way to challenge you. And so when life gets strange and difficult and I come here and I start hearing of people talking about how their life is strange and difficult and all of a sudden I say we can gather together and in a power by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we can then get a better perspective than what I came in with. And that's what Paul's telling us here. He's telling us the fellowship of Jesus and fellow believers is a key to spiritual vitality. When times are tough, look to find trusted believers, not only to pray for you, but to pray with you, to be able to lift your spirits when they can say, look, I know somewhat of what you are all about and going through, but I don't have to know it all because I know a God who knows more than I will ever know. And I will come together with you. We will pray together and launch you into the spiritual realm that God can then begin to restore whatever it is that he needs to work on in your life. Amen. And so when God's doing this and Paul's doing this in the jail, the Philippians are looking back and go, hey, we're all sitting around eating bread and wine and we're having fun and doing church. Paul's in a prison. I think this thing's really real. I think this thing called Jesus and following him the Christian way, this really has something to it. And so their faith is developing. And they begin to understand that not only can I worry about myself less, I can worry about others more. I can be concerned, not worry is a sin, but be concerned for others more. I have a desire to see others before me. This is what love is all about. And then combined with the Spirit of God, who is our comforter, our counselor, our companion. In fact, Jesus prayed this in John 14:6 when he said, let the Holy Spirit come upon them. I pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. At the heart of your prayer, at the heart of your supplications to God, are you asking the Lord to be all this for you? Are you asking God to grow godly friendships? Are you asking God to grow the church's union together that you fellowship with? This should be on our hearts. This is God's heart. You see, the right perspective will boost your positive attitude. How many Christians do you see walking around like, oh, my life's really tough, this problem and that problem. And then people are watching them and going, I don't know about that Christian thing, but I'm watching you and I don't really know if my problems can be answered. I'm not saying put on a mask, but you know what? They can see the tears and they can see you embracing Jesus as the only hope through the tears. That's the joy of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let that be your perspective. And so as Paul's doing this and the Roman guards are watching this and he's proclaiming to all the authorities and all the kings and all the magistrates that he's in front of, they're sitting there going, scratching the head. Man, this guy's in jail and he's proclaiming Jesus. I want to know about this. And they started listening. And so in verse 20 here, as he's crying out for the prayer and the supplication of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul now proclaims a desire to comfort his or confront his problems head on. Let's not shy away from our problems, loved ones. Let's be one of the people who say, I have a choice now, not only to become a Christian, but to face it head on. I think we have too many Christian ostriches around here today in the church world. All of us want to say, yeah, I've got a problem, but I don't want to see it. I'm going to stick my head in the sand and ignore it. Maybe Christ will come and I won't have to really deal with it. A lost soul of a loved one. A financial problem. An addiction. Maybe if I ignore it, it'll go away. Paul had imprisonment to deal with. He may have been questioning his heart. Why am I here? I chose to come here, but I didn't want to deal with this. But he said, no, I have a hope. He said, I have an earnest expectation. And now because of the hope I have and the expectation I have, I can have boldness. I'm going to get my head out of the sand and I'm going to confront my problem head on. With the power of Jesus, we can all do that. Question. Does facing your problems guarantee a favorable solution? Don't have to answer that. It's kind of a trick question. Does facing your problems guarantee a favorable solution? I believe absolutely yes, it does. Because ignoring your problem will never solve anything. So facing it in the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will always give you a better solution than when you started. Do you see the perspective now? Don't ignore the problems. Don't say, I don't know, I don't want to talk about my son's problem because it might just go away. No! Boldly come to the throne of God. Go and cost the whole realm of heaven with your prayers for your child, your family, your issue that is in front of you. Don't ignore it. And so as God is teaching us through Paul that my problems can only change by me confronting them, I want to deal with what life has given me today. I don't worry about tomorrow. I don't carry what yesterday had. I'm going to deal with what I have to deal with today. Confront it. With the Spirit of God and the prayers of the saints, you can't help but go forward and upward towards a higher calling that is in Jesus Christ. So again, if you want to see Paul's way of dealing with this before prison, head back, and I've said this before during the study, Acts chapter 22 through Acts chapter 26. Go read that again. You'll see Paul doing this over and over again, facing his problems. So how does that work, Bill? What are you talking about? Okay, here's something. You got a financial issue. Finances are out of control. Here, loved ones, deal with it. Get into a stewardship counseling session. Be taught the biblical principles of how finances are to work. What about domestic issues? I got a problem with my marriage. I got a problem with this. Get into some good biblical counseling. They abound out there today. Good biblical counselors. What about my addiction, Pastor? Drugs, alcohol, pornography, food. Seek accountability, loved ones. Get it out in the open. Confess it to a trusted person and let it get out into the open. And let God begin to deal with it. Satan wants you to be locked up in the prison of victimhood. But you, no, we don't do that. I'm not a victim of my issues. I can rebuke Satan's lies and then replace them with the promises of God. Do you see the way to do this now? Not only just rebuke. A lot of Christians, you know, Pentecostals, I rebuke Satan. But you don't replace it with the truths of God. Replace it. Put off the old, put on the new, Ephesians 4 tells us. This is the proper way of dealing with this, confronting our problems. Not alone. We have the body. Remember the prayers of the saints and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of powerful forces for us. You have people on your side. And so next, as Paul's looking at our circumstances, whether they're negative or positive, he's glorifying Christ. He goes on to have to deal with some pretty serious circumstances. 21, this is a powerful verse. Most of us know it. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. A lot of our situations for us right now are not life and death. But Paul had a life and death situation. He could go either way for him. He had no idea which section it was going, which area he was going to end up in, but he didn't matter. Today was the day the Lord gave him. It was going to be all about him. All about Jesus. All about glorifying who he was in his life. Jesus was in Paul's life. And so as Jesus is being exalted, I ask you, are you able to exalt Jesus where you're at? In your schooling. Some of our young ones in school, whether at home or in other places, are you exalting God in your schooling? What about in your family? Are you exalting God in your family? Men, you have been called to lead your families. Ladies who have not had men who have decided to follow Jesus Christ, do you understand you are undergirding your family as a spiritual leader? It's a difficult position. They need to be lifted up, people. There's a prayer request right there. Understanding that in your career, I need to honor God in all that I do. He didn't give you your career to stack up a retirement fund. He gave you a career to be a person incognito. You may be a teacher, or you may be a welder, or you may be a car salesman, but you're in disguise as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what he's asked you about. What about in your retirement? I'm done. I've done all my work. Unless you're a Levite, I don't see the Bible talking anything about retirement. And so if you're retired, he's just giving you a lot of freedom in your time to be able to minister to the people you overlooked all those years. It's all about exalting him. How is Jesus being exalted in your life? Paul said, it doesn't matter to me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And so as he goes on, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I can't tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, 23, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better for Paul. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. I see you have a need, loved ones. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of the faith, and that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. In order to get through the circumstances that are trying and difficult, understand that the purpose for it is God-given. It's God-given. Experience Jesus' care. Begin there. Man, this is really hard. I'm in this situation, and it's really... Can you just sit back like we were doing right here and experience Jesus' care for you? His love upon you? Do you understand that? That will begin to correct the attitudes that are wrong in our hearts. After you experience his care, what about produce fruit? Begin to grow. The Lord says that in Psalm 23, that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes I'm so busy running around, there is no growth. In with Bible studies, in with sermons, in with worship music, and I'm praising God, but there's no growth. And he comes and he puts you down, but he doesn't put you down always in the desert. He'll put you down in those green pastures. And he'll say, start eating, start restoring your soul. And then he says, be willing to help others in similar places. Be comforted with the comfort that you have been comforted with, and comfort others with that. That's what he's asking you to do. And so even if you die in this, even if Paul dies in this, he's going out with the exact understanding that it's needful for you. I'm going to minister to you. And so no matter what my circumstances is, I'm going to give glory to God. And I'm going to praise him through all of this. That's the right perspective, loved ones, even unto death. And so as Paul encourages us to be authentic and wondering why is he doing this, he tells us in 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He's looking for the fruit in his ministry. He's looking that they should have the authenticity of who Christ is to him, to them, and then give it together so that they can meet outward needs outside the church. That's the whole plan of making converts and disciples. And no matter what our experience is, we're able to live redeemed as Christ. It doesn't matter what you came in here carrying. Christ says you're a new creation. Christ says you can be strengthened by the power of his Holy Spirit filling you. And this is what I proclaim. And so as God is more concerned how we handle our circumstances than delivering you from them, I can be conformed to the image of what he wants me to be. Did you catch that? God's more concerned with how you handle your circumstances than delivering you from it. Some of you have to change your prayers. Some of you have to say, work in me, God, before you deliver me. He has to do the work first. God forbid that whatever place you're in, it took you some years to get there, that it worked and worked and worked to get there. You don't want to leave there too early. Let the work happen, because if you leave too soon, you may have to start climbing that mountain again. The mountain won't change, and the route gets a little steeper. And so he's willing to change you and love on you beyond what we are able. And as he's doing that, it produces an authenticity that as he goes in 28, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Oh, is that why I'm going through this? You mean I have to suffer like Christ suffered? You mean I have to understand what Jesus did on the cross, that I have to participate in that? That's exactly what it's about. Jesus had an agonizing, painful death. And we're being told here in verse 29, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. In order to share in Jesus' suffering, you must feel genuine pain. You must feel genuine pain because it's what he felt. And so I ask you, loved ones, please don't insulate yourself from the trials that are before you. Don't sit there and say, I'm going to ignore them and deal with life in a totally different way without dealing with this problem. Face them and remember, when you suffer how Jesus suffered for you, that death on the cross, it develops a deeper faith walk. Don't we all just, most of you, I want to go deeper, I want to mature. This is the hard part of Christianity, the one they don't sell up front, because it doesn't sell very well. And I'm not here to sell anything. I'm here to tell you the faith is real. You've been bought with a price, and you've been bought and called to die to yourself. That's a blessing. That is a huge blessing. You get a deeper connection with Christ. You get a deeper connection with people. The Christians become loving and different and growing. And keeping the right perspective will be the positive attitude in the most negative of circumstances. As Paul continues and finishes here, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me, he was dealing with it too. No one is exempt. If you are not Jesus, you are going to deal with God dealing with you in his loving way. Don't give up on him. When life is giving you more than you handle, it's right. You can't handle this. It makes you turn to him. Admit it. God, I can't handle this. And then embrace Jesus by his Holy Spirit. Face your day head on. Keep the right perspective. And allow God to use it for your growth in his glory. Paul has taught us a lot here, and a blessing that he has taught us is to have that right perspective, to keep positive. Be prayerful this week. Be purposeful this week. As you've heard these truths, some of you took notes, meditate on those truths and see what God does for you this week. He has so much in store for you. What happened here with God's Spirit and his presence is not a fluke. It was purposeful what he's doing, and I hope all you are blessed for the days to come. Enjoy this day. You are loved. Have a great week in the Lord. Join us after the service. Please come up for prayer if you are needing.